हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 20, Chapter 18, Description of Varnashram Dharma. Sri Krishna continued, "One who has accepted the Vanaprastha order of life should perform seasonal sacrifices by offering oblations of charu and sacrificial cakes prepared from rice and other grains found in the forest. The Vanaprastha, however, may never offer animal sacrifices to me, even those sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas." Right, because the whole point is the brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasa, at least they should be doing, engaged in a life that's styled as non-violent. The grihastha should also, but if they are engaged, according to shastra, then there won't be sin. There'll be a reaction, but there won't be sin. Yes. Right? But for the other three, then they just don't get involved.
Mm-hmm. All right. How can we separate reaction from sin? It seems like it's inseparable. I mean, reaction for good thing is one thing, but here we don't talk about that.
See, because when you do something wrong, you get the reaction, and you also get the punishment for the sin. Does that make sense?
It's two separate things.
Yeah, but they go together. That's why we don't see them as separate. But there are two different aspects. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just like you bet somebody, then it's government which is imposing the punishment for the sin. But the person also, you dealt with him badly. He'll
deal over with you badly. Yes. Right. In other words, the government's going to get you for dealing with the Gambino family badly, but the Gambino family's also going to get you. So one's the punishment, one's the reaction.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So as the universal law, the punishment means the person goes to hell.
Goes to hell. Yes, it may come up through all the means, come up through so many animal species and this and that. That's all part of the punishment. You could say that aspect.
Yeah.
But the aspect of let's say you kill the animal in sacrifice according to the Veda, you won't go to hell. You won't do all those things. You don't have to take birth as that goat and be killed for, let's say it's a goat, for however many hairs it is on its body and all that. No, that you don't get.
Yeah.
You just get to take birth at one time as a goat. So now the goat, now he's now the yajnik brahman who's now going to kill you and offer you in sacrifice.
So that's the reaction. It's not the punishment.
It's a natural reaction. That it means that's what monk saha means. I kill you, you kill me.
Yes.
It's just the way it works. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. So, it's just. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or you have in some of them where it pollutes the consciousness. So it may not create a reaction. Does that make sense?
External.
Yeah.
But the consciousness pollutes the game.
Yes. That will always be there. So only devotional service gets rid of that. When you do an activity, let's say you have a material desire, but you engage it in Krishna's service, it doesn't produce a seed for that that activity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It gets rid of them. It doesn't mean that there's not tons of them there, but it just doesn't make any more.
Yeah.
So you purify. You know, this, like it says, the seeds get roasted, so they don't sprout. You know. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So it's yeah. You have to just see is what's. In other words, if it's connected with material desire, it's never recommended because it'll always have some residue of materialism connected with it. So there is going to be some happiness and distress coming from it. Right? And both of them are a distraction. Because we see if we're happy materially, we generally don't think of Krishna. Right? So then what's the advantage of that? If we're distressed, we think of Krishna, nice, but otherwise we can get distressed and not think of Krishna. You know, it's just like something goes wrong and then you just get into chanting your japa. But otherwise, sometimes things go wrong and you don't chant your japa.
Yeah.
You know, so it's there's no advantage to the material mechanisms of action and reaction. By being involved in them, they'll always create distress for the living entity. So,
yeah.
The Vanaprastha should perform the Agnihotra, Darsha, and Paranamasya sacrifices as he did while in the Grihastha ashram. Right, because those are just regular things. So this is for one who takes these. You know, so all the different aspects will be taken there. So if he was one that did all these as the Grihastha, he'll continue them as a Vanaprastha, dropping off anything that is, you know, Kamyaka. You know, like this, like the animal sacrifices and that. Because they're not a recommended thing. They're Kamyaka. Means you have the material desire, they could be done. But it's not that you, they're not part of the Nitya Naimittic activities that are expected. Does that make sense? He should also perform the vows and sacrifices of Chaturmasya, since all of these rituals are enjoined from the Vanaprastha ashram by expert knowers of the Vedas. Right, so Chaturmasya is Grihastha do Chaturmasya, then the Vanaprasthas also perform Chaturmasya. Right? The saintly Vanaprastha, practicing severe penances and accepting only the bare necessities of life, becomes so emaciated that he appears to be mere skin and bones. Thus, worshipping me through severe penances, he goes to the Maharloka planet and then directly achieves me. Right? Because these kind of things, it takes you through stages.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This thing of where you just do bhakti and then from bhakti attain Krishna. That's only devotional service can do that. Other systems, they go through stages. Like that. You know, like the yogis and that, even though they're worshipping the Lord, they'll go to Brahma.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And depending upon what they're doing or the position, they'll either merge into Brahma, and then when Brahma goes back to Godhead, then they'll go. Or they're there and they're on Brahma Loka until the end of Brahma's life, and then they'll go. When he goes. So there's all these kind of. Yeah, so that's why we deal in direct devotional service.
So my whole system is like the ascending process.
They're all ascending. But I mean, bhakti is also, ascending meaning from ascending and descending.
Yes,
like that. Yes. Because we're taking the primaries first.
Yes.
And so that means then that descends down to what we're doing. That's a very nice way of actually looking at it. The primary means it's descending process.
Yes.
It starts with Krishna and then comes down.
Yes.
Ascending means we start with R and then try to connect it to Krishna.
Yes.
And then if you don't connect it to Krishna, it's just piety.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if where you're starting from, you don't connect it to Krishna and it's not recommended, then it's also a form of descending. But not the recommended form. Not from Krishna, just from your position. It's good. One who with long endeavor executes this painful but exalted penance, which awards ultimate liberation, simply to achieve insignificant sense gratification, must be considered the greatest fool. Right? Because the followers of Jaimini, they would also do these things. And you say, oh, but they're being so renounced. But why? Because then from that, they'll get so much material benefit next life.
Yes.
So Krishna is saying he's the greatest fool, because you should be doing this to please Krishna. The Vanaprastha is overtaken by old age. Because of his trembling body, he is no longer able to execute his prescribed duties. He should place the sacrificial fire within his heart by meditation. Then, fixing his mind on me, he should enter into the fire and give up his body. Right, so if they can't perform their duties anymore, then that's also one of the ways they can leave the body. I think there's that story where Shankaracharya wanted to talk to that. He was at the time the biggest karma, you know, the biggest follower of Jaimini, the biggest karmakandi. And so he wanted to have a debate with him, because by defeating him, then that would have so much influence. But then when he actually got there to see him and came into the room, you know, there was the fire. And, you know, how you say, they were already, you know, preparing the fire. It means you take, you know, the coal, you move all the ash and everything, and on the coal, on the bed, you put kusa grass and everything like that. He was getting into the fire pit. And he says, I want to talk to you, like that. And the Karmakandi's guy says, I'm busy right now. You know? So he gets in, and then, you know, then they cover up the ash up to the neck like that, and then he left his body. So Shankar didn't get to talk to him. Yeah, so it's something that they can do. Then, fixing his mind on me, he should enter into the... If the Vanaprastha understands that even promotion to Brahmaloka is a miserable situation, develops complete detachment from all possible results of fruitive activities, then he may take the sannyas order of life. Right? So if they're interested in these higher planetary systems, then the Vanaprastha ashram and doing all that then works very nicely for them to get them to these higher planets. Right? And that, but if he sees that there's no advantage there, then goes to the sannyas ashram. So in other words, he doesn't leave his body as a Vanaprastha. Right? Then he takes sannyas. And then he carries on that position, because to go beyond the material world. We catch what's going on. In other words, these are the general recommendations. Depending upon how we're looking at them, what is our purpose, then we'll be involved to whatever degree or not.
Yes.
Does that make sense? But this is the form of it. So, if someone does this, when it enters the fire and all that, then that will take him to those heavenly planets. But it's beyond Indra's place. These are higher than that. Right? The Satyaloka system. But if you understand that that's not there, then he won't do that. He will just go to sannyas. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it just means he'll end there. So the amount of time you spend as the Vanaprastha also, then that is then established by what is your goal.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And as devotees, then also Vanaprastha, one can leave the body as a Vanaprastha, but that's just, you know, by doing your service and that just, you know, no need of entering into the fire or all these kind of jazz.
Fire of Sankirtan.
Sorry?
The fire of Sankirtan.
The fire, yes. Entering into the fire of Sankirtan, yes.
Here, the Vanaprastha is like a yogi, because he can...
Well, they're all yogis. Just the Grihastha is not as obvious.
But if we try to become Bhakti yogi, it's more...
Bhakti yoga is the most important, but it doesn't mean we don't situate ourselves in these ashrams. Yes. But we're keeping the essential point of the ashram, and the detail then however much is recommended. Right? Because we're not doing... See, who's the one who enters into the fire? The one who, as a grihastha, was doing all the Agnihotra, Darsha, and Ornamasya sacrifices. He's also continuing that as the Vanaprastha. Now, if he can't do that anymore, then... And he sees, you know, going to Maharloka or these places as, or Tapaloka is important, then he can leave by entering into the fire. Right? But if he's not, he's seeing that going higher than that, then he'll take sannyas. Or if he's a devotee, then he's not going to bother with that because he wasn't doing those things anyway. Right? Because they're all part of it's still part of the, it's pious, but it's still part of the material activities. Mm-hmm. All this Purnamasya and Darsha and all that.
There is no mention of Krishna in all this.
That Krishna's always part of everything, but whether they see it or not, that's the whole thing. If you see Krishna there or not, then you can also just deal on the more direct. So instead of doing this, you just worship your deities every day.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. So it's just a matter of the principle is the same. It's just the detail is different according to the position. But you have to maintain the principle. Because
yes.
You can say, oh, we don't need to do all that, but you have to do the principle.
Yes.
Right? The principle is giving your keeping yourself to a system that's a situation that's minimum according to, you know, just that you're able to perform your activities, your services.
Yes.
Right? This vanaprastha is not going out on Samkirtan. He does not have to carry a, you know, 20-kilo book bag. Therefore, if he's skin and bones, it works for him. If you have to do Samkirtan, you have to have a little bit something between the skin and the bones. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? So what is useful for the service, then that's what they do.
Yes.
But it has to be as connected with the service, and they have to be giving up that bodily identification and that increasing facility and all that. They're figuring out what works and then keep it at that, and that's all.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Related this to this entering into the fire, at another place it is mentioned that when there is a forest fire, like they live in the forest and obviously sometimes there is forest fire, they don't make an endeavor to move away from that place.
They just, okay, if they're a vanaprastha.
Yeah, and when the body is no longer supporting them.
Oh, it means if the body is this, then they'll move, but if it's not, then instead, okay, it just
if
works.
They are not able to perform their daily activities because of too much bodily inconvenience, then they don't make any.
Okay. And it's also probably they wouldn't be able to get away anyway, but the point is that there'll be that anxiety. So this is they're just peacefully with it and just they just go with the fire. Yeah, because you see is that when that forest fire started with Dhritarashtra, then also Vidura and Gandhari and all that, then they, you know, so it just, you know, it was the time. So.
Yes.
No, Gandhari, that Kunti. Kunti, because Gandhari went with her husband. So then they also, in that forest fire, then they just left in there.
Rishabhadev also.
Also forest fire. Yeah, so this seems to be a very standard.
Yes. Vanaprastha in the forest.
Yeah, forest. Yeah. Okay, so if he develops detachment from all possible results of fruitive activities, he may take the sannyasa order of life. Verses 13 to 27, the sannyasa ashram. Sri Krishna continued, having worshipped me according to scriptural injunctions, and having given all one's property to the sacrificial priest, one should place the fire sacrifice within himself. Right, because here it's then you're continuing on for there. So someone who's doing the sacrifice, he then places that fire within himself and he gives all the facility and all that.
Okay.
All one's property to the priest. Because then you're going to leave. So then all those things, all your, whatever you were using and engaging in all those things, then that goes to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he'll use it, you'll go. Because the priest means he's still a grihastha, right? Thus, with mind completely detached, one should enter the sannyas order of life. Quote, this man taking sannyas is going to surpass us and go back home, back to Godhead. End thinking. Thus thinking, the demigods create stumbling blocks on the path of the sannyasi by appearing before him in the shape of his former wife or other women and attractive objects. Yeah, remember, I think it was one devotee was telling me that after he joined and made a commitment, he's not, you know, that material life's not worth it and all that, then I think it was like some, you know, 9 months or something later, he's in one place that he always moves and all that, you know, for preaching, book distribution and that. And as he walks, you know, the typical, you know, Hollywood, out of the you walk around the corner, then his, you know, previous, you know, how you say, you know, whatever it is, partner then walks around the corner and they bump into each other. It's like, oops, like that. So that's the demigods.
What happened to him?
He just... Hi, and kept walking. Like that. But the sannyasi should pay the demigods and their manifestations no heed. Right? So the demigods and whoever they send don't pay any attention. Because we see, is that with Vishwamitra, did it work out?
No.
He heeded the manifestations of the demigods. Right? And so, yeah. So he just... But like Markandeya, he didn't. And so now they respect him. Okay, stay away from this guy. Because otherwise, you see, they get jealous. If the sannyasi desires to wear something besides a mere kopan, he may use another cloth around his waist and hips to cover the kopan. Otherwise, if there is no... if there are no sanctified places, rivers, mountains, and forests, he should enter the cities, towns, and pastures. Okay. Otherwise, if there is no emergency, he should not accept anything besides his danda and water pot. A saintly person should step or place his foot on the ground only after verifying with his eyes that there are no living creatures, such as insects, who might be injured by his foot. Right, so he has to be conscious and see where he's walking. That's also, if he's looking down if there's no bugs, he won't be looking at all the advertisements and everything else also. He won't even notice the manifestation of the demigods, right? He should drink water only after filtering it through a portion of his cloth. Right? So then generally he'd use this portion of his cloth, or it's also, a portion of his cloth, meaning what cloth he has. So it can either be something that he uses, or he can also have a piece of cloth that's just for filtering. Yeah. You know, it's part of his... But it doesn't mean big. It means whatever his pot is. You take the pot, you cover it, and then you dip it in the water, and that filters it. You know, like when you do like Ganges water, you put the cloth over the pot, and then put it in the water, and then the water that goes in... You all do that, right?
No?
Yeah. No? No, okay. So you get the water and then keep it there and let it sit overnight, and then when it settles, then pour off the good water, and then that water, let it sit, and then do that for 3 days, and you do that one instead?
No, we did that, but now we're not doing it.
Oh, okay. Okay. You need a really big pot, right? He should drink water only filtered through after filtering it through a portion of his cloth, right? Still, again, no bugs, right? It's not about the health, it's about not injuring any living entities. And he should speak only words that possess the purity of truth. So it should be about the Lord, and it should be not about anything else, right?
Yeah.
Similarly, he should perform only those activities his mind has carefully ascertained to be pure. Right, so... Something that should be done, he should be analyzing that if this is to be done or not to be done. You know, what's the consciousness, what's the purpose, what's the goal, how will that be used? So all these kind of things. So it's not that they're not busy. You think, oh, it's such a simple life. No, but they have to analyze all this.
Yes.
And then act. So then it becomes sober, it becomes mature, right? It becomes consistent. Okay. Similarly, one who has not accepted the three internal disciplines of avoiding useless speech, avoiding useless activities, and controlling the life air can never be considered a sannyasi merely because of his carrying bamboo rods. Right? So, we can also see here is the bamboo is the standard. Like that, Manu also mentions a few other woods that can be used, but bamboo is the...
What's about... cutting in different pieces, short, and after putting the...
Together to make it long? Yeah. Because these guys didn't have to get into cars or airplanes, so that's the... Yeah, because they won't let you carry dandas on airplanes.
Yes, yes.
They don't even let you carry the pieces of it in your hand luggage. You have to put it in check. Before you could originally carry the dandas on the plane.
Yes.
Then they said you can't, because then who knows who took a stick on the plane and made trouble. Then you could carry them in your hand luggage. But now they don't even allow that.
So.
Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, useless speech and then the other one, useless activities are understood by controlling the life there, means?
It's the body, because you have... means that if you control the life areas, what you should do, what you're... how you're engaged. Because even if you're doing the recommended activity, but the senses and that aren't controlled, then still it's not so ideal. The idea is that the senses, the energy, why the energy is being applied, even if it's a proper activity, but if the energy is not being applied in the proper way. So,
what was the question?
Question is, what is that controlling the life air mean? So in other words, just your purpose of your life is for not is for things that are of value or truth. Right? And here, truth means Krishna, not truth meaning politically correct facts. Right?
That's the main activity for the sannyasa.
Yes, you can see is that, that there won't be a whole lot on them. As it is, it gets smaller and smaller. There's a little bit on brahmacharis and a huge amount on grihasthas and a little bit on vanapras, a little bit on sannyas.
But the main thing is to control their thinking process.
It means the thinking process, the activities, just the whole motive or what you're trying to do. In other words, it should be all about Krishna. But you don't have to worry about engaging a lot of externals, like the grihastha will. So it's more about the subtle aspects, the metaphysical to the spiritual. So as a grihastha is working with the more external aspects and connecting to Krishna, they're working more internal and especially than metaphysical. It's that kind of thing. And connecting that to Krishna. So, yeah. Rejecting those houses that are polluted and untouchable, he should approach without previous calculations 7 houses, be satisfied with what has obtained there by begging. Right? He doesn't calculate, these guys may get more, and this one's like that, so I'll do this house, that house, and like this, and that'll get very, yeah. So he just, wherever it is, he takes 7 houses, avoiding those ones that are a problem, and whatever comes. So he might get more, he might get less. And if it's more than he needs, that's given away. And if it's less, then that's life.
Taking air.
Yes, taking air. According to necessity, one may approach each of the 4 occupational orders of society. The BBT purport states, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that Ashank Liri Pan, right, here's that Liri, indicates that one should not approach certain houses, calculating, in that place I can get first-class food. That house has a big reputation among beggars, right? It's just, if it happens to be one of the houses, he goes, but it's not, he doesn't calculate. Doesn't mean he has to avoid it, it just means that he doesn't calculate it in as part of the process. Right, remember Raghunath Das, he gave up that mentality because he was saying he was standing at the Simhadwara gate. The pujaris had come out, the prashad and all that, and he's thinking, this one give, that one give. He gave yesterday, maybe he'll give again today. So to give that up, then he just went around the back where they throw all the leftovers and just collected from there. Without discriminating, one should go to 7 houses and be satisfied with whatever one may be obtained there. One should beg for one's personal maintenance only from houses where the inhabitants, being sincere followers of the Varnashram culture, have earned their livelihood by honest means, right? So you don't take from those who are dishonest. And free from sinful activities. So if grihasthas aren't following these, then where do the brahmacharis, vanaprastha, sannyasis beg from? Right? Because technically they're not supposed to go to anyone who's not. Right? Another reason, how come the brahmacharis aren't begging? Where do you go? One may beg alms from such householders. One must not beg alms for one's personal maintenance from those who oppose the Supreme Lord's devotional service. For such service is the whole purpose of the Varnashram culture. So the Varnashram culture is for that. They're not using it that way. You avoid their house.
it seems like it's not applicable so much. Is it external?
Means where would you get money in that from? If you're getting donations, where would you get them from?
That's true.
Yeah. So that's what it's called, because it's free. It means work, you did the work, they're paying you for the work.
No, but the whole thought of like this entering the fire and all these things and going further into the houses and all that stuff. So we engage all these things in preaching. So that could be...
Yes, but as long as we're doing preaching, but if we're not doing preaching, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? So in other words, we're engaged in devotional service, then that already keeps us busy because we're following the Pancharatrika system. This is the Vedic system. So how much we're involved in the Vedic, that much we do. You know, but the essential point, that one we're following, because Grihastha means Vedic. It doesn't mean Pancharatrika. There's not a Pancharatrika system for marriage or a Bhagavat system for marriage. You understand? It's Vedic. So therefore, in that, the essence must be followed. You know, it's just like, let's say, in the Chaturmasya, it mentions there. It's something that has to be followed. Now, in there, there's 44 main rules, but there's also some more rules. You know? So there's like 50, 60 rules. But in that, then Lord Chaitanya gave to Sachimata just the essential point. That instead of all those rules as a consideration, just in, you know, this month, no spinach, no milk, no yogurt, and no erdal.
Yes.
Right? And so then, that's all. The others go. We'll take it. Oh, this is so ritualistic. That's not ritualistic. That's just the essential point. Or a codicil. No grains and beans.
Yes.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So all the other things, staying up all night, you know, standing on your head, and you know, whatever it is that you want to do. These things aren't if you're engaged in other activities of devotional service, they're not so important. Right? But if in this you are unattached, asleep, absorbed in the holy name, so you stay up all night doing kirtan or chanting or reading, then there's no problem in it because it'll be engaged in the Lord's service. So the point is you're engaged in the Lord's service. Now, whether you're using this Vedic form or using the Pancharatrika form or using the Bhagavat form, but the point is you can't do none of the three and claim that we're devotees. You know, like someone say, oh, we don't do all that. We're not ritualistic. At the same time, they're not following Pancharatra or Bhagavat. So, in other words, the Vedic is the minimum standard. Pancharatra is higher than that. Bhagavat's higher than that. But it has to be, it's complete. We chant our japa, yes, for 2 hours a day, we're following the Bhagavat. And then the rest of the day? Right? If we are, great. But if not, then that's where Pancharatra kicks in. And so then we follow the Pancharatrika, and that has also a full day's activities. And then if that completes everything, then nice. And if not, then the balance left is taken by the Vedic. So the less we're doing Bhagavat and Pancharatrika means the more time is left that has to be filled with the Vedic.
Yes.
So this whole thing is that, oh, we don't care for rules, so we don't care for anything. Then that's not very progressive. You know, that they're, okay, not willing to get ritualistic, that's fine, but at the same time, as much of the time, those who say we're not ritualistic have their own rituals. You know, they do things in a certain way, they eat in a certain mood, they eat in a certain time, they eat certain food. They're just as ritualistic, but it's just coming from their own conditioning and their own desire, rather than coming from authority of you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You know, so that's the problem, is that the Vedic is there, it'll take up your whole day. Now, if you can then use Pancharatrika instead, you'll do that, and set that Bhagavat, then that's what you do. So the ideas that we get when we get into the Paramahamsa, then you'll see is, now we're talking about someone who's not worried about the rules in that, and doesn't do all that. So the closer you are to that, the less of these rules. Does that make sense? So it's yeah. You know, it's just like if you're born into a rich family, maybe you don't need a job, but if you're not born into a rich family, you need a job. Does that make sense? So that's how it works. Is that the Vedic is there as the human platform. And then the purpose of the human platform is serving Krishna. So that degree you're serving Krishna, then that is already the perfection of the human life. And if not, then you follow the rules of human life. Does that make sense? So that's a point that is one has to be very careful. It's not used as an excuse, you know, because many will do that. Yes.
I know we discussed this before. The difference between Bhagavat and Panchayat.
Bhagavat means that natural, spontaneous attraction to serving Krishna based on the platform of affection. Then, and that the five main activities, the direct activities, those are considered Bhagavat. Now, when it's not coming from that spontaneous, you have to have rules and regulations to follow, to regulate your life. That's the Pancharatrik. Pancharatrik means those rules that are connected to the Lord. So they're all connected to Him. They may be direct or indirect, but they're all goal is to. Like you take bath in the morning, but you're doing that because of deity worship. Right? Now, if you're not doing it because of deity worship, then you're doing it because of the Vedic. The Vedic says. So then from the Vedic, there's all the health benefits, this, that, blah, like that. But the Pancharatrik you're doing is because Krishna is the Supreme Pure. He likes things clean. He's clean as a person, so therefore you want to associate with Him as a person, you have to be clean yourself as a person. Does that make sense? So the Pancharatrik then is the lifestyle that Srila Prabhupada has given us. You know, our whole morning program, and then activities of service during the day, and then the evening devotional activities like that. Does that make sense? He likes that spot.
For most of us who are born outside of the Vedic tradition, what we actually practice is a combination of Bhagavad and modern lifestyle. So, will it work?
To that, yes, it will work, but it'll be according to the degree of the Bhagavad that you're using.
No, minimum Bhagavad.
Means then you'll move forward. Yes, you will move forward. But the point is when you surrender to Krishna, that's when it gets dynamic. Does that make sense? So it's very individual, right? So if one's using the modern just because of habit, you know, then that's there. If you're using because of conscious attachment, then that will make things much slower. Does that make sense? Especially if you have a philosophy concerning that.
Well, we obviously need philosophy to get rid of guilty feelings. You know?
Yes, otherwise, but the point is it gets rid of guilty feelings, but it doesn't get rid of the results.
Yeah, no results.
You know, it's like, call it? The walrus and the carpenter, I think it was. And there was something, they were going to eat clams and all that, so I think the carpenter, you know, was having his cloth and, you know, just crying and all that, you know, about the plight of the oysters and all that. So the walrus, you know, was thinking, oh, such a, you know, sentimental guy and all that. So he's, you know, he's eating kind of slowly and, you know, more meditative. But he was actually putting up a cloth so you couldn't see how quickly he was eating. Yeah, so the whole point is that Krishna is a person. As you surrender to Him, He reciprocates. So we make that too, but why can't we make that in connection with Krishna? The difference is that being honest and maintaining false ego, then you have to come up with some kind of spurious philosophy. But if we are honest of our position and surrender to Krishna, then it manifests humility. Because you see so many devotees, they would take that. We're from, you know, the Goswamis themselves, Rupa and Sanatana, and that, they would take, we're from, you know, low born, like this, from, you know, bad backgrounds and things like this. So they would avoid these different things. They didn't go, you know, hey, I'm, you know. Sanatana Goswami, you know, they never went into Haridas Thakur, they didn't go into the Jagannath temple. Right? You know, so they weren't worried about it. So then they just served the Lord. They were engaged in the Bhagavad. So it works. But you see, it generates humility. But then when this trying to find how you're doing and connect it to Krishna, then the pride comes up, then there's a problem. That will slow down the process. You know, not that there won't be, it won't have some effect, but it's also that aspect that slows down will also have its effect. You know. And so then if you are able at some point to give that up, then at the time of death, remember Krishna, go back to Godhead. But if not, then you see then one will take birth again and continue from where you are, because you will have made progress. So if you went from 5% to 10%, then next life you continue with 10. You know, but if you had gone up to 50%, you can continue at 50. But Prabhupada's giving the opportunity, why not go the, you know, do the whole thing, the whole 9 yards, right? You know, and that's the whole point. Why get distracted? Yes, we do have these things. Okay, yes, I'm more comfortable eating this food or dressing it this way. But it's not. Don't make it as an excuse that, oh, it's better and it's more for preaching. And why do those things? Ever tried making those excuses? How well do those excuses go down with your wife? Like that. They don't work at all. In other words, they're not personal. We make up these philosophies and excuses, but they're not personal. So Krishna's a person. They won't work. He doesn't buy it because our modern body is also functioning because of Krishna. It's not that the modern body uses senses from, you know, Beelzebub or something like that. You know, like that. They also are Krishna's potency. It's also still Adidaiva. We're still looking at the Adi Bhota, which they, you know, we're using themselves, Adiatma, it's still the same. It doesn't change. So Krishna has made the Malecha and Yavana. Krishna's made all these things. Just he doesn't mention all, has to mention all that. You know, he doesn't have to say, yes, you know, and for his, you know, 1,297th vibhuti, then, yes, I am those guys that live on the corner in the Bronx on, you know, he doesn't have, on the third floor, you know. Are you guys on the fourth floor? So, yes, I'm also the guys on the fourth floor. What about the guy in the basement who maintains all that? I'm also him. His potency to maintain the building is the super. I am also that. Yeah, but then he uses, like, you know, his broom and all that. Are you the potency of the broom? Yes, I am the potency of the broom of the superintendent maintaining that four-story building on the corner in the Bronx. You know, he doesn't have to do that. Because it's all Krishna. So this idea that something's separate from Krishna, that's not philosophy at all. Even if you come up with some nice intellectual thing, it's like, you know, whoopee. You know? You know, these things were already dealt with, you know, with the Vedanta Sutra 5,000 years ago. So it's like, it doesn't matter. So then you look at it, okay, I'm accustomed to this, I'm attached to this, so therefore, cook that to the best of your ability according to the standards that Krishna appreciates, you know, meaning it's clean and you didn't eat it while you're cooking. And, how do you say? And then offer it to Krishna with the recommended method. You know, if you can't do that, then okay, at least remember Krishna, and it's by his grace that you're getting this. And if you can't do that, then good luck. Hopefully you're doing something else, you know. Going to the temple and seeing the Lord on Janmashtami, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're honest about it. But this thing where we're being honest and then you throw in the false ego, that's not honest. Because you can't say we're not the body and then say we are the body. You can't say, oh, all these rules are above the rule, we're devotees and all that, but at the same time we're modern people. You can't do that. Right? Does that make sense?
It seems that nowadays we live in a very, you know, aggressive environment, and then people, they create those philosophies to protect themselves and whoever are with them. So it's kind of a protection.
Right, but at the same time, it's okay. Have you ever been out, let's say, in a more, like, little bit more natural environment?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be totally. And then there's some living entities, because of the natural environment, and you're sitting still, then they come out.
Yeah.
And what are they doing?
Just sniffing, doing natural stuff.
Yeah, doing natural stuff. But are they worried about someone else coming along and also doing their natural stuff?
Not really.
The birds aren't worried. You ever notice birds, they pick, and then they look around like that, and then they dead, and then look around again. Squirrels. So fearing is always there, because someone else who's a little bit more higher up on the food chain, you know, may exercise their natural rights. And then they have to perform their obligations, which they want to avoid. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, all it is that they're naturally living that lifestyle that this philosophy is in support of. So as humans, you're supposed to live a human lifestyle. But they want to live an animal lifestyle, so you have to have that philosophy to bridge the gap. But because of false ego, then that's what it means by truth. That's plain purity of truth. Because that's what it is. But at the same time, as we have to see it in the cultural context and all that. Therefore, then the grihastha, according to his position and his that, he engages whatever in the Lord's service. So he tries to keep things. Krishna likes things to be clean. It's part of the important thing. Cleanliness and all. He mentioned those lists before of something that everybody does. Okay, what's that? Celibacy, penance, cleanliness, self-satisfaction, friendship with all living beings, and above all, worship of the Supreme Lord. They're meant for all jivas, so at least this much one's trying to do. Right? So celibacy here means that other than one's own partner, then one's not getting into things that one shouldn't be doing. Right? And then penance, that means the proper engagement of the senses, the difficulty that comes up from engaging the senses in your occupation. So let us say going to work and commuting for 2 hours a day. That's a penance. Mm-hmm. Sitting there in traffic. But you're doing it because that's what has to be done. You have to make your money. Mm-hmm. And then that with that you're supporting the family. As a grihastha, you have to do that. You can't not do that. You can't not go to work because I don't want to sit in traffic. If you don't want to sit in traffic, then move to Montana or something. There is no traffic like that. Don't live in L.A. Does that make sense? Cleanliness. So as much as you can understand cleanliness, you try to be clean. But it has to be whatever you can relate to, you're actually trying to do that. We're not asking more than that. It's a matter of how much you can understand the cleanliness and get involved in that. But don't do less. Right? So if you wash your hands but not your feet after going in the bathroom, then to not wash your hands, that's less than what you do. That will be wrong. Not saying not washing your feet is okay also, but that's all the more you can relate, then that's what you do. But you should accept and acknowledge that, yes, washing your feet is the standard, but because of my background, I can't relate to it. I got to wear my house slippers everywhere, and I have a rug on the bathroom in there, so, anything that's not so ideal is in the rug. But, of course, I'm standing on the rug, that we're kind of finessing, because we don't think that far. It's thought, okay, it's a mess, put a rug down, now the bathroom's good. Kind of like, okay. Yeah, just make sure you turn on the light when you go in the bathroom. Otherwise, if the lights are out, that rug might bite your toes. Like that. You understand? So you have to be honest that this is what I can do now. Know that it's not ideal, but this is what I can do. So, Krishna, please accept this. And then by that you get purified, because why are we accepting less? Because of the impurity in the heart. So by the devotional process, the heart will be purified. As the heart is purified, we should be willing to improve the standard. That's what comes naturally. But this idea is, no, what I'm doing now, that's it. So even after 5 years when I could do otherwise, but I don't because of laziness. It's laziness. It's lethargy. And as also mentioned before, that one should avoid lethargy. One should even avoid associating with people who are lethargic. Because you might pick up their... Right? Well, in other words, I say drunk Russians should stop associating with drunk Russians because then, you know, they pick up those bad habits. Yeah. Does that make sense? That's reality. That's being real. But this thing is, oh no, we're this, we're that. That's not real at all. Yes, due to that, I have to eat like this. Okay, I can't eat rice. I have to eat chapatis. Fine, eat chapatis. Don't make a philosophy out of it. You know, because you say, no, but you know, everybody eats chapatis. Yeah, where? In Europe. Right? Africa, they eat corn. Asia, the whole of Asia, they eat rice. Right? And then some few, only Punjabis, only eat, you know, chapatis. Like that. You know, you go to South America, they eat a lot of rice also, and corn. In other words, most of the planet eats something other than bread as their main grain. But we'll present it as if chapati or wheat is the universal grain. So that's false ego. You know what I'm saying? We're used to it. Eat it. Fine. But offer it to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Is that work?
Yeah.
So that's what we're meaning, is that this honesty that's there, it has to be real honesty, not, you know, politically correct honesty. It has to actually be real honesty. It's that, yes, I am falling. I am below the standard. This is what I can do right now. You know, one should know how much, just like how much you can fast. Can you fast all day? Or can you fast half the day? You know, can you fast at least until breakfast? Can you at least brush your teeth before you eat something? You know, you have to know what you can do. And then do that and be consistent. And don't go below that, because even it's mentioned that even somebody has completely bogus, made up rules, and they're supposed to follow them, you know, by an identity or that. They break the rules. There's a reaction for breaking that rule, even though the rule is bogus. You know, it's like, say you're a bikey and you don't wash your jeans. So if you wash your jeans, you're breaking the rule. There will be a reaction for that from the material energy. You know, so in other words, following rules, restricting, being regulated is human life, and humans have to do that. Even if you make up your own system, you still have to follow it. You know what I'm saying? But now if you see okay, this is bogus, and then you move on to, you know, a group that allows you to wash your pants, then you've moved on from that. That's fine. But as long as you're identifying and functioning there and have the obligations there, you have to follow the rules there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's why, let's say someone goes to the army, they're following the rules there. They get benefit from that. They get regulated, get disciplined, you know, these kind of things like that. Whether those rules are bona fide or not, you know, so it's like in, what is it, West Point, when they walk from one building to another, they walk along the edges of the building. They don't walk on the path. Like that. I think that's the new people. When you're around a while, you get to walk on the path. But it's just that you learn to follow rules. It doesn't matter how crazy it is. You follow it. Right? Because when they tell you to, you know, jump out of the airplane and land on the beach in France there, like that, you have to do it because you've been told. If you think, well, this is not very good for health, and you're not going to do it.
If you don't want to go, they push.
Yeah, so you either clipped in or they push you and you're not clipped in. And so yes. Then, yeah. Then.
And people say, mama, mama.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So the individuals, they have to be mature. So this thing just going, that's not mature. One has to be thoughtful. That's the whole point. And then thoughtful, what can you do? What can I do at this point? You know what the standard is, and you follow what you can of that standard, in pursuance of that. then with time as you're purified, then you may see the opportunity comes up, either by you just have the understanding, I could do this, or Krishna arranges it, and you find, wow, I didn't die, you know, and so then it's okay, you know. You always have to eat, you know, but then you find some happened and you went to lunch. Yes. And it was all right, and okay, well, maybe then on Ekadasis I'll fast to lunch, you know, just like this. Does that make sense? You just start doing what you can, and then expand it. But this philosophy is, no, we're Western, we shouldn't do this. That's totally bogus. I mean, it's actually against the Vedas, so it's not even within human life. It's not progressive at all. It's there is no good aspects to it on that principle. You can say, no, but people, you know, should be able to, within their position. Yes, that's what we're saying. But to say that we're Western, we can't do the Veda, then that's bogus. Does that make sense? Because anything anyone's doing, they're not doing if it comes up on, you know, it's something where it's seen that some celebrity or some other thing like this or some rule, and then they do it. Right? It just happens. So to say, as though we're Western, we can't do it, that's extremely narrow-minded and biased. Very narrow-minded. But they're trying to present themselves that they're the universal and this and that. That's the mode of ignorance. You present the truth, falsity as truth, and the truth as false. So it's very, very detrimental. You don't want to do it? Don't do it. And either when someone asks you about it, change the conversation, or be honest. It says, I can't do any more than this. People will accept. And if they don't, get a new group of friends. Right? You know, sincere devotees will accept. But if they try to make it a social prestige, and no, well, I'm in a better position. In fact, well, I'm doing the wrong thing. It's actually better than you doing, you know, all this Vedic stuff. That's like, who does that? You know? I mean, if you're in Europe, then you expect to, you know, see torches and pitchforks. You know? And if you're in America, you expect shotguns. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that it's not a very elevated consciousness, but they're presenting it as if they're being very elevated. And generally, those that are from the backgrounds that I mentioned, they'll just straight say, I can't relate to it. They won't make a philosophy. You know? Some simple village guy, and he'll just say, it's just too complicated for me. This is all I can do. And he'll feel... I remember once we were going to... I can't remember. I think it was during... It may have been during a flood. And so... Was it? I can't remember. We were taking a boat and going across to... Srup Ganj, because there it's high water. You can then from there you catch things and go to Krishnagar and like that. So we were in the boat and going past this one place where they're like at the bond, you know, next to the Jalungi. And the guy had neck beads like that, and you know, local, but he was fishing. You know, not just out there with the pole, but, you know, the actual, you know, you make them and putting in the things and do, you know, the professional fishermen. So, and when he saw us, because we're all in saffron and all like this, and, you know, the look on his face was, he was feeling very, very kind of like remorseful, like that is, you know, it's like, you know, I'm such in a lowly position, yes, that I had to do this fisherman. But at the same time, he'll identify with the Bengali Gaudiya kind of thing. You know, so you could see he just the look in his eyes. He didn't say anything, but you could see the look in his eyes and the moves, because you know how you meet Bengali, you can even have a whole conversation without even saying a word. So then you could just see he was feeling bad about it, you know, especially in front of us, because we're sadhus who are practicing and all that. You know, others go down the road, he doesn't care. But he was feeling bad. And he would, you know, take that humble position. So that's the natural point, is that everybody's humble and doing what they can, because even if someone's following, even you're following, the point is it's being offered to Krishna that's actually the point. So someone can follow rules as a conditioning, someone can't follow rules as a conditioning. They're both conditioning. one's pious and one's not. But the point is that the connection to Krishna is the important point. So if you can take the modern, connect it to Krishna, that's where you start from. But never say that that is itself a complete path. Because otherwise, who's given that? What Muni? What Rishi? What sage? Like that. It's not. It's not. It's Manu mentions these things, but just because it's better than nothing. And then, you know, because you've taken the essence, connected it to Krishna. But it doesn't mean that as you become purified that you can't improve the lifestyle. So if you start off one and it goes down, then there's something wrong. But if you start off that, you know, you can't do much, and then, you know, after a few years, then you're able to do a little more, and then, you know, after some years, you see him, you know, come around to the temple more, do a little bit more, stay longer than just, you know, come earlier than prasad and stay later than just when they finish, you know. So you just start to see that it happens. Is that okay? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.